This is your community radio station, 88.3 Southern FM.
Coming up right now is the Space Show. And now on the Space Show, we're going to have some Australian space news. Over in South Australia, the planned launch of a German rocket fueled by paraffin has been delayed until tomorrow. The 11.5-metre-tall SR-75 rocket is expected to fly to an altitude of 50 kilometres before falling back to the Canuba test range near Ceduna. This is how 7 News in Adelaide reported the preparations.
The finishing touch has been made to South Australia's new spaceport. The Canuba test range launches into action next week, with a German company testing a hybrid propulsion rocket on Aboriginal lands.
40 kilometres northwest of Ceduna. Here, many a local footy legends launched a towering torpedo punt. But just a short distance from here, the kids will be hoping for something even more spectacular as testing of the launch site continues. German company High Impulse is using Southern Launch's facility to fire its newly arrived SR-75 rocket to be attached underneath this movable launch rail.
So you can lift it up and point it in the direction you want.
The launch rail is used to position that rocket in the perfect place so that it goes where it's predicted to land.
It's a game changer in so many ways. Jobs and educational opportunities for the local Canuba Aboriginal community and the trialling of a new and less volatile and safer JEF propulsion system. And a new phenomenon called in-space manufacturing. High Impulse is testing a potentially safer and cheaper fuel.
This is the first time where we will try our new rocket propulsion system in flight. We're using paraffin wax, basically candle wax, as a fuel.
It's combined with liquid oxygen. Canuba's vast range and Southern Launch's 2 launch sites here and at Whalers Way further south are extremely attractive to those launching rockets into space.
I think this is one of the outstanding points here.
There are huge benefits for those who own this land.
We have been waiting for a long time, and it'll bring employment to our community, and it'll bring educational tools for our kids.
And some benefits are yet to come from a revolutionary phenomenon called in-space manufacturing, where microgravity in an orbiting capsule like this one can change the composition of certain materials, leading to life-saving drugs and enhanced chips for supercomputers.
That is actually using the advantages of having no gravity. You can use these conditions to build something that you cannot do on Earth.
But for the Canuba kids, the appeal's a little less complicated.
Rockets are really good to, shoot off.
Ron Candelars, 7 News.
At 50 kilometres, this is an atmospheric test flight. But wait for it. Watch for news reports saying that this is a space mission. To qualify as a space flight, the SR-75 would need to reach 100 kilometres altitude. Still, a paraffin liquid oxygen rocket is a newsworthy event. If it does occur tomorrow, it will be just before dawn when it launches. By the way, Southern Launch has signed an agreement with the United States aerospace company SpaceWorks to allow the landing of orbital reentry devices at the Canuba test range. The range has an area of 41,000 square kilometres, and the idea is to allow the rapid return of experiments from orbital vehicles, such as the International Space Station. And no word yet from Gilmour Space in Queensland on when their IRIS orbital launch vehicle will have its maiden launch. The vehicle stands ready at the Bowen Orbital Spaceport, but cannot be launched until it receives a launch permit from the Australian Space Agency. The 25-metre-tall rocket has a diameter of 1.5 metres. A note from Chief Executive Officer Adam Gilmour advised everyone to check on his social media posts for launch updates. However, because the space show has never signed up to the Twitterverse, Elon Musk has blocked us from reading posts on X. In other words, we have been excommunicated. Now, the Eris rocket is named after the dwarf planet Eris, which was discovered in 2005. With an equatorial diameter of about 2,400 kilometres, Eris is a little smaller than the Moon. Its average distance from the Sun is about 68 times further from the Earth than the from the Sun than the Earth is. Well, the Kids Learning Tube have done a thing about the dwarf planet Eris and its moon, Dysnomia. Here's what they have to say about it.
My name is Eris. I am a dwarf planet, the furthest north from the sun the humans found yet. On January 5th in 2005, the Caltech Observatory had brought me to life. A team led by astronomer Michael Brown, the biggest dwarf in mass is what they had found. They believe my surface is covered in nitrogen ice, but you'd have to visit me to make sure that's precise. In 2006, the IAU named me and gave me dwarf status, yeah, officially. My name is Eris. I am a dwarf planet, the furthest north from the sun the humans found yet. Minus 390 is my average degree. If you made it to my surface, then you'd probably freeze. Dysnomia is my one natural satellite, see. Lawlessness and it is always orbiting me. I'm 27% more massive than your Pluto. Yeah, Pluto is slightly larger than I am, you know. I take 557 Earth years to orbit the sun. When I orbit, I leave the Kuiper Belt on my run. My name is Eris. I am a dwarf planet, the furthest dwarf from the sun the humans found yet.
Southern FM, the sounds of the Bayside.
And this is the Space Show. Now, there's no word yet on the fate of the Australian-built Optimus satellite that was launched several months ago and never heard from. Well, a crew member aboard the Optimus satellite was Valiant Space. And we're going to do a little profile about them now.
Located in Brisbane, Australia, Valiant Space is a space propulsion company whose purpose is to build a smarter space for a better Earth. The company produces a wide range of products that enable in-space maneuverability, including valves, thrusters, and full propulsion systems for customers both domestically and internationally. With its wide range of propulsion technologies, Valiant is focused on propelling critical space-based infrastructure by allowing satellites to get on orbit sooner, extend their lifetime, and improve sustainability through de-orbiting and collision avoidance.
If you listen to the ABC, you may well have heard of Valiant in 2022.
We've developed an in-space thruster, which is an important part of what satellites need to move once they're in space. So you can think of that in the same way as you catch a 737 from Brisbane to Sydney. And then once you get to Sydney, you need to take a taxi or an Uber to get to your hotel. We're building the rocket engines that are that taxi for satellites once they're in space.
How did you get started on this project and how long have you been working on it?
Yeah, so the company was formed officially in 2020. That's when we incorporated. But as a team, we all came together in 2017. We're actually all at university at the time. And we all had a passion and a drive to want to build rocket engines before we graduated. We achieved that. And then through the process of that journey, we found a market opportunity with these in-space thrusters. And we've been growing the company ever since.
You must be so excited to be involved with SpaceX.
Yes, that's right. So we have our launch that is coming up in December. That's for a solenoid valve. I have one prepared here. And that valve is going to be on board a satellite with another Australian company called Skycraft. And they're launching on board of this SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket in December. And then mid-next year, we'll be launching a full propulsion system with the full thruster. So like this one that I showing here. And this is what's going to be launching mid-next year and will be a full demonstration of our technology.
And so tell me about the conditions that both of these inventions have been tested under so far.
Yes, so there's obviously a bumpy ride to get to space. The rockets are very big and they have big engines which generate a lot of vibration, a lot of force. And so on the ground, we've been conducting a variety of different tests on our technologies, including hot fire tests on the engines. Right now, actually, my colleagues Michael and Ben are actually out at the test site testing one of these engines as we speak. And then we do other vibration tests and load tests to ensure that our parts are really going to withstand that violent launch.
And so you are confident at this stage that they will indeed do that, just that?
Absolutely. So it's always important, especially with products going to space, to make sure that they're going to work before you send them. It's not like you can send a maintenance crew up quite easily, at least not in the foreseeable future. And so, yes, we've made sure we put the products through their paces to guarantee that they're going to work once they get into space.
The company has given this description of their VS1 thruster.
We use non-toxic nitrous oxide and propane to provide comparable performance to hydrazine-based systems, but without the need for high-cost handling infrastructure. With a significantly higher thrust compared to electric propulsion, our thrusters can perform fast-acting orbit raising and collision avoidance maneuvers, ensuring your satellite assets come online quickly and for longer. Our low-cost propulsion solutions will save you money at every step of your mission life cycle by leveraging a simplified design, rapid manufacturing methods, low-cost propellants, and by always keeping your satellites in their optimal orbit.
Now, what is the purpose of Valiant Space? Well, in their own words,
Valiant exists to provide products and services that will propel critical space technologies and infrastructure deeper into the cosmos, opening up commercial and exploration opportunities out to the Moon, Mars, and beyond. With our first domain of focus being propulsion systems and components, we are beginning our journey to solving the space industry's ever-increasing transportation and congestion challenges on orbit.
At a meeting of the Space Association of Australia in South Melbourne, Valiant Space was our guest. Andrew Yusinski is the CEO and founder of Valiant Space, which, as you heard, comes from Brisbane. Here's what he had to say.
G'day, everyone. My name's Andrew. I'm the CEO and one of the co-founders of Valiant Space, and we're developing technology to land payloads on the Moon. And to give you a bit of an idea as to why we're doing that, let me take you back to 2007. And that's when the Google Lunar X Prize started. And out of all the groups that participated, SpaceIL from Israel was the only one who got the closest to the Moon. And at Valiant, we were all really inspired by their journey, and we all watched on as the landing attempt began for that mission. And unfortunately, minutes until touchdown, there was a failure, and it was a software failure caused by human error. And this was a $100 million mission, and yet there was still insufficient means to validate and reduce the kind of risks that put the mission in jeopardy and ultimately caused the catastrophic failure. Because at the end of the day, you can't do a practice moon landing mission. It's just too expensive, too prohibitive. And when you can't practice something cheaply or rapidly, you can't really get that much better at it. And so you can't get better at landing on the Moon if that's the case. And that's when Valiant Space was born, from myself and my co-founders. And we want to ultimately help humanity get better at landing on the moon much more regularly. And simply put, we want to take the moonshot mentality out of a moonshot. We want to make it significantly easier. So the obvious follow-on question to that is, how do we do that? How do we achieve it? What are the necessary steps to make going back to the moon a more routine task? Well, we're solving these high-risk and high-cost problems by introducing the means to boost the reliability of these very complex systems that Adam touched on, the challenges that exist with rocket building. It's very high, high-stakes challenges. We're building the ability to boost that reliability of those systems here on Earth before they actually fly. And fundamentally, lunar missions themselves, they are doable. Gone are the days of needing to be a superpower. The new space approach has meant that a lot of commercial opportunities previously unforeseen in space are now being opened up. Going to the moon will become a commercially viable endeavor. And I'm sure many different ventures that we can't even think of today will come out of that ability to go back. But at this point, things need to get a lot cheaper, a lot less risky, and a lot more reliable. So to achieve this, we're taking on the reusability philosophy, but not quite in the way that you might think from someone like SpaceX. We're building a hopper vehicle. So this is a reusable vertical takeoff and landing rocket, which is terrestrially based, which is going to allow rapid testing of the propulsion systems, the control systems, and the vehicle architecture overall to be able to achieve the precision landings and hops in and around the moon that we want to provide to our customers. So the hopper itself will take off, fly a specified trajectory, and then land, all the while gathering data on system performances throughout the flight. And so should there be any adjustments needing to be made on just after a flight has been conducted, those tweaks can be made on site, and the hopper can fly that exact same trajectory with a turnaround within the same day. And that's giving an unprecedented level of hardware-in-the-loop simulation and rapid prototyping that really hasn't been possible for these types of spacecraft systems previously. So this is critical because it helps build that operational and full system experience and understanding that you need when taking on these challenges. Because ultimately, an active lunar economy depends upon the ease of access to get there. Just like access to space, and just how we've seen in recent years, how all these ventures and capabilities in low Earth orbit have been unlocked because of companies like SpaceX who have reduced the cost to get there significantly. And other companies such as Gilmour and other small satellite launches are bringing that capability more and more. And right now, on the lunar perspective, that innovation that we've seen in access to space in general is currently getting blocked by the expense and the risk that is associated with testing those systems. So that's where Valiant Space fits in with our value. Is that we can test those systems and build them and operate a lot quicker to be able to get customers' payloads to the moon with cutting-edge technology. So this kind of leads well into my next point, which is on collaboration, which is another huge part of the journey. Beresheet is an excellent example of where collaboration works really well. And in our case, we need a ride to space, ground tracking equipment. We need scientific payloads. And testing facilities. And all these capabilities are actually getting built here in Australia, which is really exciting to see. And we want to inspire others to take on these kinds of moon challenges and to collaborate and build a capability that will see humanity prosper in cislunar space and in deep space overall. And we also think it's really important that the government support that exists nurtures these ambitious ventures. And so we're very excited to hear more about what lies ahead of us with the Moon to Mars initiative. And we think that a lot of our projects are fantastic opportunities that align very closely with the desired outcomes of the initiative. And of course, right now we're targeting the moon first, but our pathway and our technology development will enable further exploration to Mars and beyond and to other planetary bodies. So we're really excited, and we know that this can all be done in Australia. Of course, it's an international effort, but Australia can have a significant impact on the global industry, and we want to really take part in that. But I guess a little bit more of a specific update as to what we've been working on so far. We've been focusing our efforts on the rocket propulsion systems. You might have seen our most recent hot fire test of our liquid fuel rocket, which was successful. That is going to power our Hopper vehicle. So that's our first iteration. We're going to continue developing that until it's ready for our first Hopper vehicle. We're also working hard on the other systems needed. And so, yeah, definitely stay tuned to hear more about our progress there. I've spoken a bit about the collaboration and some of the first few problems we're going to be solving. And we're really eager to talk with whoever wants to be updated, get in touch or collaborate with us and ultimately share the journey with us to the moon.
Andrew Yasinski, you've got a question from Andrew Treib. Do you have any comments regarding the Trump announcement and your intentions about the moon enablers? I guess this relates to your Hopper system.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's referring to the mining, and one of our potential customers is obviously mining companies. We're currently not building the landers that would be necessary to haul tons and tons of moon rock back to Earth, but we would potentially be able to enable prospecting of the moon. So of course we'll be operating under whatever the regulations that exist around the logistics of that. We've got a long timeline until we reach that point though. In regards to that specific question, I don't have any particular comment since that's not something that's on the horizon just yet, and I'm not quite sure what lies in the future in that regard. We do believe, though, that the capabilities that we're building will be very well aligned with what mining companies would want to utilize. But yeah, like I said, we'd only operate under whatever the regulations that exist. I don't have any specific comments there, unfortunately.
Forgive my limited understanding of space mining. I don't really believe the practicality of mining things off Earth and bringing to Earth is really where mining is really where it's at. It's more off Earth mining for use in off Earth applications, for example, fuel or building structures or spacecraft and those types of things. Am I correct in that?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Speaking to the meeting of the Space Association of Australia, that was Andrew Yasinski, the CEO and founder of Valiant Space, which hails from Brisbane. And they are one of many, many companies who are hanging on word from Space Machines Company about the fate of the Ultima satellite, which does appear to have failed. However, one can always hope. Anyway, I'm Andrew Rennie. This has been The Space Show.